Hello, Church. Can you believe it that we are already in the second half of 2021? How time flies. I hope that you are keeping well in the midst of the current FMCO here in Malaysia. And may the peace of God continue to comfort us during this trying season, and may we also continue to be rest assured in Christ, our hope of glory, as we go through this season together. We are continuing on in the Growing Up series. You know, Rose kicked off the series during Mother's Day by sharing about growing up as a woman and mother. Last week, Pastor Adrian spoke on growing up in serving and encouraged us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, the best example of a servanthood heart. Today, I would like to share with you my life as one that grew up in a Christian family. Now, allow me to read the passage for today. It is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Can I invite us all to stand if we can, in honor of God's word? The passage is shown on the screen right now, and we'll be reading from the English Standard Version. So Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your might. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Father, may you guide my lips as I speak today. Let it be you who speak and not me. Holy Spirit, tutor our hearts to hear from you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may take your seats. Now let me first introduce my family to you. This is a picture of my family when I was very much younger. My parents have two children, my younger brother Jason and I, and we are 4 years apart. This picture was taken back when DUMC was still meeting at Ruby Cinema in Sea Park. And this was during one of our annual church carnival, right, where cell groups took ownership of different game stalls and families just coming together to have fun. And we actually invite the neighboring communities to come and join us. And this was like easily 15 years ago. And funny story, my brother actually reminded me that moments before this picture was taken, apparently my father was actually really upset with me because he was actually searching high and low for me so that we could take this picture together. And when he finally found me and he took that picture, and me being a typical teenager, immediately after this photo was taken, I actually left my family to join my friends again. Obviously leaving my father very upset with me once again. And needless to say, that was certainly not a family carnival event. Well, at least not for my family. Well, the next picture that I want to show you is actually a picture of my fiddle fig plant. I bought it at the beginning of MCOE last year, where everybody, you know, started to pick up new hobbies. So I gravitated towards planting. I was told that this plant was sturdy and it was easy to grow, which translated to it being low maintenance, which means I didn't have much to do. All I needed to do was to water it. Now, as the months went by, I started to realize that whilst it is true that the fiddle fig was sturdy and it was easy to be kept alive, it was not bearing any fruit. There were no new leaves. And after about a year of it being in my living room, I actually was so sure that this plant, though alive, was barren. My friend, however, encouraged me to reposition the plant and to consider placing it outside in the balcony instead, as it might do it some good. I was very reluctant at first because I really liked it where it was, but I took her advice anyway. And lo and behold, after just a week of it being at the balcony, the fiddle fig started to push up new leaves after new leaves, as you can see from the picture. This whole experience actually taught me a very valuable lesson, which is the important role an environment can play in shaping and nurturing the growth of a plant. Now, similarly with our lives, the environment that we are in does play an important role in shaping who we are, in helping us form our convictions and our beliefs. So the big idea for my sharing today is simply this: our environment plays a part in shaping who we are. A high quality house is built with high quality materials, but a high quality home is built with high quality relationships. A high quality house is built by skilled workmanship, but a home is built by skillful leadership. A house is built to have specific value. A home is built upon its values. So what are these values that we can start building in our homes today? Looking at the passage that we read earlier from Deuteronomy 6, I would like to draw our attention to three key values. Now, some context to the passage that we just read. Moses was actually addressing the Israelites who are about to enter the promised land of Israel. He recalls history for them of their time in the wilderness, how God kept them there for 40 years because of their unfaithfulness to him, but also how they defeated kings of Amorites and then finally arriving at where they are right now. The Ten Commandments were also recited to them, and they were instructed to obey all that God has commanded them to do. And when they do that, verse 33 in chapter 5 actually says that this, that you may live and that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess. That was the promise of God to them. Then now, here comes chapter 6. It opens up with Moses reinforcing the importance of obeying God's commandments. And he sets the tone to give the Israelites one ruling command, one commandment that encompasses all the commandments. And this is found in the passage that we read in Deuteronomy. So, like I said, there are three key values that I would like to draw our attention to from the passage. The first value is the centrality of God. God as the absolute authority. Here in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This truth is so important to take note of for every Christian household. This was such an important statement that is actually the starting sentence of the Jewish confession of faith, the Shema. Shema means hear in Hebrew. This is the classic formulation of Israel's faith. And even today, observant Jews actually pray these words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one," twice a day as an act of faith. Then, as now, the essence of the Christian faith is that there is only one God, the Lord. And this Christian faith is a monotheistic one. So by definition, there can be only one all-powerful, infinite, limitless God. To speak of more than one supreme, absolute, perfect, almighty being is to actually say something that is contradictory. There cannot be two absolutes, for if there were two absolutes, then the word of absolute itself makes no sense. There can only be one God. And this was especially important for the Israelites to hear at that time, because they were so prone to idol worshipping and they were exposed to multiple manifestations of Baal, the primary challenger for Israel's allegiance. Now, these starting words remind the Israelites and us as well today that there is a God who speaks with absolute authority, and he has told us what is true. He is the only God, and only him do we love and serve. And there is an emphasis on the need for loyalty to this God. Nothing in our lives should ever come between us and him. Growing up, my parents would try to bring my brother and I on a family holiday almost every year. Wherever we go that year, as long as our holiday spills over the weekend, my parents would actually make it a point to find a church for us to attend on a Sunday. Now, I never really understood why even on a holiday, we need to go to church. And so during one holiday, I couldn't tahan, so I had to ask my parents, why do we need to do this? Because it really felt like it was a damper to the holiday. My parents patiently answered me by saying that being on holiday does not mean we go on holiday from God too. God is not to be neglected on any given day. And from that day onwards, I never questioned already when we go to church in a foreign country during a holiday. Of course, going to church on a holiday does not make us any more Christian than we already are, but it was actually a very simple way of my parents showing us that even in the midst of us having fun, God still and will always be first in our lives. And that was something that they wanted to drill into our heads and into our hearts, that God is the most important person in our lives, and apart from Him, there can be no other. In Isaiah 45, verse 5, it says this, that I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. The centrality of God, God as the absolute authority, is an important value to uphold in every Christian home and environment. The second value can be found in verses 5 and 6, and it is the command from God. Verses 5 and 6 says this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. These two verses speak of actually our relationship with this God and what He has commanded His people to do. Our responsibility to Him, first and foremost, is to simply love Him. And this love is not merely an emotional response, but a love in action, one where we are commanded to love Him with all of our being. Knowing who God is, He as the absolute authority over our lives, enables us to respond rightly to Him. And that response is loving Him with all of our heart, soul, and might. And this is an appropriate response to a God that first loved us. In 1 John chapter 4, 19, it says that we love because He first loved us. Now, in the passage in Deuteronomy, the word heart here has to do with the intellect or the decision-making process. We tend to understand the heart as the seat of feelings and emotions, but the Hebrew word for heart used here corresponds with our notion of the mind or the will. The Hebrew word for soul refers to the inner emotions, hopes, desires, and individual characteristics that make us who we are. And finally, the word might actually translates into exceedingly, abundance, force. And these words actually show strength. So to love God with all of our heart, our soul, and might is really to love Him with our entire being, physical and mental, intellectual and emotional. In all our decisions, choices, and desires, it should cost us everything. It consumes all of us, and God deserves all of that because He is our absolute authority. You know, one way that my parents taught us to love God is actually by encouraging us to have a relationship with Him that is centered on prayer. From young, my parents have tried to instill the culture of prayer in us. They would encourage us to pray together every night as a family. My brother and I actually dreaded it on most nights because most times we were just wanting to be kids and wanted to be left alone in our rooms to mind our own business. But my parents, they persisted. I remember clearly that on some nights when I really was not feeling it right, I would actually try to hear my parents' footsteps slowly emerging from the distance, knowing instantly that yes, they are headed to my room to summon me for family prayer time. So with that, I would quickly run to the lights, turn it off, and then go into my blankets and then try to sleep, pretend to sleep lah, you know? And on those nights when I sneakily did that, I got away with praying with my family. So my parents listening in right now must be actually really shocked of how much I've deceived them in the past. So consider this my confession. But no, that's actually not the point of the story I wanted to make. One big reason why I didn't like praying together with them was because I felt that at that time, as a young girl, I actually didn't know how to really love God and let alone pray to Him. And also, I wasn't very good with my words. So naturally, I dreaded praying in front of people, even if it was my family. One time, I told my parents why I didn't want to pray. And my dad, he looked at me and he said, girl, it's okay. You know, as we spend time with a person, we will actually grow to know the person and grow to love the person more and more. So we can start by just talking to God. So just put into prayer whatever that comes to your mind. It doesn't need to be long. You can just use simple words and you just pray from your heart. You know, at that time as a young girl, prayer was such a difficult thing for me to do. It took, like figuratively speaking, right, all of me to be able to pray out loud in front of people. But encouragement from my father to just speak from my heart brought me on this journey to learn to love God in spite of how inadequate I may feel, because at the end of the day, this God who first loved me deserves my everything and every bit of me. He doesn't need my flowery words. He just wants me. Now Deuteronomy 6 verse 6 says this, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." The command is to love God. It's an important part of a journey as a believer. To say that it shall be on your heart is to say that it must be ingrained and must be drilled into us. It is not just for us to know in our heads, but to also believe with our hearts. And of course, it has to start with us first before we can even begin to encourage others to do likewise. So the first value is to know the centrality of God. The second value is found in the command of God to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and might. The third and final value is from the commission by God. And this is taken from verses 7 to 9. It says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." I chose to use the word commission here because this portion is actually an instruction, a directive that requires an action on our part. If our first responsibility was to love God, then our second responsibility is actually to teach the next generation to do the same. God instructs the Israelites through Moses that loving Him with all their heart, soul, and might is important, but it should not stop with them. They are to pass it on. They are to pass on this value to the next generation that were to come after them. They are to instruct the next generation in the revelation that God has given to them about Himself. So in modern terms, you know, this passage would simply mean to teaching children to love God and His truth as life happens. The passage reads, "Shall talk of them when you sit in your house." This means during mealtimes at home, in the mundane day-to-day life of cooking, of cleaning, of washing up, of getting ready for bed, we need to seize every opportunity to impart godly values in our next generation. Next portion, when you walk by the way, even when you're on the go, on the move, those car ride conversations, talk about God, impart godly values in those moments as well. And then when you lie and when you rise, in the quiet moments, in the morning and in the night, to remember the Lord and to teach the next generation to do the same. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." You know, for the parents here today, in the home, the primary teacher is the parent. I grew up observing my parents and I learned a lot about the joy of being with God just by watching my parents love on the Lord. Growing up, I've had the privilege of enjoying the company of a stay-home mom. And because she was home all the time, I actually could observe her doing her daily devotion on our dining room table every morning with God without fail. And most times, it is even before she has her cup of coffee. That was my mother. From my dad, I used to think that worship songs, right, can only be truly enjoyed and appreciated by people who know music and have a gift in it. My dad actually debunked this for me. Because like I would wake up to worship music actually every Saturday morning for the most part of my younger growing up years. And Don Moen was a frequent artist in our home. And I would see my dad downstairs just minding his own business and simply enjoying, just delighting in the Lord and singing unto Him. Even though actually he can't really sing in tune or he goes all out of pitch. But you know, God doesn't care about that, right? Because He looks at the heart. And just by seeing the way that they love the Lord in their personal time with Him, they really were my teachers who taught me that this God is really worth knowing. and he is an important person that I eventually wanted to explore more about and to get to know him personally for myself. So in the home, the primary teacher is the parent. In the home as well, the classroom is life itself. It is in the everyday life how a parent responds to the situation around them actually becomes a very valuable teaching moment for a child. You know, I shared earlier on that even when we were younger during our holiday, my parents would find a church for us to attend, right? They never really explained actually in much detail why we had to go to church on a holiday, apart from the fact that, you know, God is not someone that we should take holiday from. But now that I am much older, I believe that they knew that those were our formative years and it was important at that time to cultivate the value of always having God at the center of all that we do and to cultivate the habit of going to church. And this seed of a value that they instilled in us in our formative years actually paid off, because when my brother and I went overseas on our own to study, the first thing that both of us did was actually to look for a church and get ourselves rooted in a church community. My parents placing the importance of going to church week in and week out has somehow gotten us to instinctively know that that was important for us to do when we were overseas. So again, the three values that we can learn from Deuteronomy 6 is the first one, the centrality of God. God as the absolute authority. The second one, the command from God, which is to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and might. And third, the commission by God to teach our next generation to do likewise. And those were also some of the important values my own parents cultivated in our family. And like that fiddle fig plant I mentioned earlier, the environment my parents provided for me, grounded on these values, played a part in my growth as a person and in shaping the convictions and the beliefs that I have today. And I would definitely not be here if not for the values they chose to instill in me during my growing up years. But whether we are a parent here today or not, as a church family, we too can partner with parents here to raise the next generation. Remember that it takes a village, or in Pastor Adrian's words, it takes a kampong to raise a child. And we are privileged to have a DMC kampung with a strong family church DNA to support each other in this journey of raising the next generation. You know, I too am a result of this DMC kampung that stood with my parents to help invest into my life and shape the person that I am today. We are commissioned to parent the next generation. Because if it is not us who will teach our children about the centrality of God, who will? And if they don't understand the centrality of God, how will they know then to heed His command? Therefore, investing into the next generation by consciously building an environment where God is in the center of it all, it's so, so important, because all of life actually stems from there. To all the parents out there, on behalf of your children, no matter how old or young they may be, I want to take this opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for loving us the best way you know how, for sacrificing so much to provide for us an environment where we are safe to grow in. Your investment in our lives really matter, so please keep going. And to those of us here who have the privilege of growing up in a Christian environment, let's start by thanking our parents today, shall we? And really appreciate them for all that they do for us. Yes, our parents are not perfect, and they do have their shortcomings. But remember that they are also trying their very best for us. So let us endeavor to continue on the legacy that our parents have built and pass it on and bring it into our future families. But also, to those here that did not get a chance to grow up in a Christian environment with godly values, you are certainly not left out. This message is also for you today. Today, you can make that choice to start to build the environment that you would want your children and their children to grow up in. It doesn't mean that if you did not get the opportunity to grow up in a godly environment, that you cannot leave a good legacy for them. This legacy can now start with you. So make that choice today for the sake of of the next generation. The big idea again, our environment plays a part in shaping who we are. So build your environment carefully. Shall we pray? God, we thank you for your word that holds so much truth for us to chew on. Help us, Father, to remember your goodness, your promises over our lives as we seek to continually put you in the center of our lives. We thank you that, God, you have first loved us so that in return we can love you too and encourage the next generation to do the same. Help us to play our part in building the environment that you have placed us in so that in all things, at all times, God, you will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are here listening today and this is your first time at a church service and or you have not invited Jesus into your life, I want to invite you to meet with this God that is our absolute authority. In the midst of living in such unusual times with the pandemic, with so much uncertainty about the future, why not turn to the one who knows our future and has our future in the palm of his hands? Place your trust in the one that is fully in control. Come and trust in this God who can love because, who can make it possible for us to love because he first loved us by giving up his only son, Jesus, to die for our sins on the cross so that we can be set free from the bondage of sin when we invite him into our lives as our personal Lord and Savior. Trust in this Jesus who has given up his life for you. For if you cannot trust the one who has given his life for you, who then can you really trust? Now, if you would like to talk to us a little bit more to find out about this Jesus, there is a button on the chat that says Request Prayer. Please click on that button and someone will be able to come alongside you and to help you in this journey. But if you are ready to make a decision today to come to Jesus Christ, to place your trust in the one that gave his life for you, you can do it in a simple manner by saying this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry that I've lived my life in a sinful way, rebelling against you. I recognize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Forgive me and cleanse me from my sins. I thank you for loving me so much that you would come into this world to take my place on that cross so that I can have life in eternity. Today, I want to place my trust in you. Please come into my life and take your rightful place in my heart as King and Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you have prayed that prayer, can I ask that you click on the raise hands button that you can see on the chat right now and also scan the QR code that's shown on the screen. We would love to connect with you and to talk to you further on this decision that you have made. For others here, if you have any prayer requests and would love for someone to pray with you, do click on the Request Prayer button as well, and our team of pastors and prayer hopes will be able to attend to you via a private chat window and allow us to journey and to pray with you. So as the Lord leads some of us to click on that Request Prayer button, for the rest of us, come, let us pray as we end our time together. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the environment that you have placed us in, where it has played such a crucial part in shaping who we are. We thank you that in that process you found us and have called us to yourself. So God, I pray that may we continue to live life in light of who you are and what you have done for us. Help us, God, to always choose to love you and to exemplify our love for you in our lives daily. May we be ever so conscious to have you at the center of our lives, to honor you and to put you first in all that we do so that God may be glorified through us. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious towards you. The Lord turn his face and give you his peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you.